Hello, hi, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Today is June 18th, 2007, and I'm Chris Newton. I'm one of the co-hosts, and my other co-host, Jerry Fuller, he's in Norway right now. They're traveling around Norway, going up to the Arctic Circle, and we have a great co-host that's going to be on the show today. Her name's Cheryl Taylor, and she's got excellent travel experience from all around the world, and she's been in Israel, and that's our topic today. And I'm very happy that you're on the show, Cheryl. How you doing today? Hi.
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks, Chris.
Oh, great. I'm really happy. Yeah, like today we're gonna talk about Israel, and just I guess the main point of the travel advice show is that we wanna help people advise them on their travels, like anywhere in the world. And I started traveling back when I was maybe like 16 or 17, and went to Europe and went traveled all around, and it really changed my life quite a bit. How was your travel experiences, Cheryl? Have they changed your life?
You bet. It's
Yeah.
just really been great. If you lived in Utah all of your life and you never left the state, excuse me, well, it's quite a small world, and that goes for any state or country that you're in. If you don't leave your hometown,
Yeah,
then your view is just limited.
I agree. Yeah, it opens up. You learn about all new cultures and food, music. Yeah, there's so much you can learn from different people and different cultures, and it makes you feel kind of like it almost. Remember when you studied about famous explorers, like Magellan and all these famous explorers. You kind of feel like you're almost like an explorer when you're traveling, don't you? Like you're.
That's right, yes. So many things to see. I was really picky with what I ate before I went overseas. And I had done a few trips before, but in 1971, I went over to work in Japan, and wow, what different food they had. I was used to having very limited, and I was very picky with what I put in my mouth. And over there, I tried octopus and squid and all kinds of interesting things, even though I didn't really like all of them. Still tried them all.
It's good to try it once, I guess, and see how it works. And you don't get the opportunity to try it as much. And so the last couple months, Jerry and I, we've been talking about different areas in the world, and different types of travel tips that you could get, traveling around the world. And we haven't really touched much about on the Middle East area. And today I thought we could talk about Israel and all the famous tourist places and kind of unique places in Israel that you can explore. And sure. When was the first time you've been to Israel there? What has it been?
I went to Israel back in 1989 for the first time.
Oh, really? Okay.
I
Okay.
did, and I was going on a tour with one of my girlfriends,
Oh, okay.
and she chickened out at the last minute because she said it was too dangerous over there. We were going to Israel and Egypt.
Oh, okay.
And I was very disappointed, and I was all, especially I wanted to see Egypt.
Oh,
I've
really?
always been interested in archaeology
Oh,
and the
okay.
pyramids, and so I decided I would just go ahead and go by myself.
Oh, nice.
Very brave, but I had lived in Japan 5 years, so through that experience, I knew I could do just about anything and travel. And I did go on a tour, though. I don't think those are areas you really want to wander around by yourself,
Okay.
especially if you're a single girl,
Okay.
lady. So I took an organized tour, two separate tours actually, because the first tour I was taking with my friend was then too expensive with the single supplement. So I chose two other tours going to both places, but that the single supplement was less money.
Okay. And when you got on these tours, were there how many people were in your tours? Was it a big, like a real big tour?
Just a regular tour. They had a tour bus,
Oh,
and it
okay.
was Oh, there might have been, I don't know, 30, 40 people.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And what I noticed was that there were a lot of single people on the tour, and a lot were from Australia. And there were several ladies, single ladies, that were there from Australia. And one of them I'm still corresponding with.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you can build some good relationships when you travel. You know, yeah.
Exactly. And there were people from South Africa and New Zealand.
Oh,
that's what comprised a lot of the people on the tour were from those countries in the United States.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, it was very interesting to get to meet those people. And because there were so many people on their own, we all hung together and became a group of our own.
Hmm.
We even included some of the married people in our group.
Oh, no. Yeah, right. Well, that's great. Say, for instance, I've never been to Israel before, you know, and what would you say to me, like, if I was planning a trip to Israel, like, what are some things that I should kind of prepare, or is there anything that I should, is there a kind of a good time to go, or is it kind of vary from there? Kind of?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, like most countries, the best time to go to Israel is May and September.
Yeah, okay.
Hot in the summer,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, wet in the winter. Even though they don't get snow in Israel, it gets cold. And they do have one area up north where they actually have snow on one of the mountains.
Oh, okay.
Well, you could ski if you were... wanting to.
Oh, wow. And then are the beaches pretty accessible? Is there beaches in Israel?
There are.
A lot of beaches, yeah. Oh, that's great.
So here's how it works, actually.
Okay.
And it's kind of funny in that when you arrive in Israel, you arrive at the airport, of course.
Right.
And they do have a flight that goes directly from the States, from New York, I believe, to Tel Aviv.
Oh, direct. Oh, okay.
LL and Continental Airlines, two that we've flown. Or you can go through Europe, of course, stopping off in Paris or Rome or wherever you want.
Right.
Because it's a very long way, really. But the funny part is the airport is kind of, at least the last time I was there, was rather simple. You just walked in and went through customs and passport control. But it was very kind of a loose organization, I thought. But on the way back out, it's really tough. You go to the exit departure terminal, and they go through your bags, they ask you questions, and then somebody else asks you the same questions over and over. So it's harder to leave Israel than it is to get in.
To leave, really? Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yes. You need about at least 3 hours.
Ooh, really?
Get out of Israel. But to get in, it's quite simple, which surprised me. And the first stop we made, and I thought was the easiest, I've done it both ways. I've gone from the airport to Jerusalem and stayed, and that was on my first tour.
Okay.
When I was with the tour group. Or you can go to Tel Aviv and stay there first. And the distance between the airport and the two cities are about the same, so it really doesn't matter either way. I liked Tel Aviv because we stayed at the Hilton Hotel, which is right there on the beach.
Oh,
so
nice.
You can easily go downstairs and walk out to the Mediterranean, and you can walk in the Med, or you can swim in the Med. And it's very close to downtown, so you just walk across from the Hilton, you walk across little park that's filled with cats. I love cats, that was fun.
Oh, there's a lot of cats around? Like,
lots of cats.
Wow, okay.
In that one park that I noticed, I didn't notice them out on the street.
Oh, okay.
And from there, you can walk down the hill a little ways through the plaza where they have different places you can eat. There's a little grocery store there where we always went to buy our bottled water, because you should drink bottled water in Israel.
Oh, okay.
And it's very expensive if you buy it from the hotel and get it from the fridge in your room.
Oh, yeah.
We would always trot off down to that little market first and get our water. And then there in the plazas where we would oftentimes eat. And they had really great food there. Are you interested in the food?
Yeah. Is the food similar like to the region, kind of the Middle Eastern region there, or I'm not really familiar with the food.
Well, it's very similar to different places, but they of course have a different name for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For instance, well, some of my favorite, of course, is schnitzel, and you've had that in Germany.
Right.
And that's made usually with either veal or turkey. That's probably my favorite. Then they have a thing called shishlik. That's like just like a shish kebab.
Mm, okay.
So that's great.
Nice.
And hummus.
Oh, that's my favorite. Yeah, I love
hummus too. Dip.
Yep.
Bread.
Yeah, I make that homemade. I can do a homemade hummus on that. Yeah, that's great.
Well, I haven't tried it myself, but...
Oh, yeah.
I should. I love it. And they have a thing called a shawarma.
A shawarma, yeah, chicken shawarma. Chicken shawarma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's just kind of like a little a gyro kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then whenever you buy a meal, usually they give you salads. And it's not salad like we think of it. It's like they give you little dishes full of little, like, pickled things. I don't know. Just a whole bunch of little different kinds of vegetables that are pickled and stuff.
Hmm.
So if you order salad with your meal, that's probably what you'll get.
That sounds very healthy, you know.
It was very interesting.
Yeah.
I enjoyed most of it. So now you're in Tel Aviv.
Okay. And that's the capital. That's a big city, right? That's pretty big.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But it's easily navigable.
Oh, okay.
You can go downtown and you can walk downtown from the Hilton. And, of course, there are lots of hotels there. You just pick whichever one you want. But I don't think I would stay in a really cheap one in Israel. But anyway, it's easy to walk downtown from the hotel, and there's all kinds of shops and restaurants and so on. But the most interesting thing in Tel Aviv, besides the Mediterranean, is to walk down the beach to Jaffa, and that is really interesting. It's like, you know, the old-fashioned Arab bazaar kind of thing.
Ooh, Jaffa, it's called. Okay. It's a big, mm-hmm. like, bazaar marketplace kind of.
I don't know, bazaar. I've never heard that.
Or a marketplace, kind of?
Yes, a marketplace, yes.
Oh, okay. And you can walk along the beach to it?
There? You can, yeah. And along the way, you come to a Ben and Jerry's ice cream place.
Oh, no. Really? Yeah. Oh, that's what, yeah.
And nice restaurants there along the beach as well.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
A nice walk. They've got a nice little walkway all the way to Jaffa.
Okay.
And then you can take a cab back or walk back if you want.
Yeah, do you walk on the sand or is there like a pavement road, kind of like a little a pathway?
A pathway,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh. A wide.
Oh, what? Okay. Huh.
Yeah, so from Tel Aviv, and
okay.
What we did, I went 8 times after that initial time.
Oh.
And on all of those 8 times we stayed at the Hilton, and I would just go down to the concierge and tell him what I wanted to see, and I would get people in our group, whoever wanted to go with me, and we'd get either some kind of a conveyance, a bus or a small van that included a driver and a tour guide, and we would just split the cost, and we would go off somewhere that we wanted to see that wasn't on the normal tour circuit.
Oh, great. Yeah, kind of. What was some interesting things that you saw there?
Well, on the tour that I planned, because, you know, we had seen everything else, all the normal things, which I'll talk about in a minute, but
uh-huh.
We went up the coast one time to Caesarea. That's a very interesting old city with a lot of ruins. That was built by Herod the Great.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And then along the coast, well, you could stop at Netanya. That's the diamond capital if you're interested in diamonds. Or you could also go to the Diamond Center in Tel Aviv and go into the vault and look at diamonds. I did that one time. Didn't buy anything, though, unfortunately. No, fortunately, because it was very expensive. And along at the coast after that is Haifa and Akko. Akko is an old crusader city, and you can go under the city and see some of the, you know, the old ruins down there. Mm. Very interesting. But this tour is also, they do have a tour at the hotel, an organized hotel tour that does this very thing. You don't need to book it yourself. You can take the tour from the hotel. Then the last thing up the coast, if you have time for all of it, is Rosh Hanikra. And that's right on the border between Israel and Lebanon. So it depends on how safe the area is at the time. It's like a grotto, and you can take a, you can walk through the grotto.
Oh, nice.
Very interesting. And you can look over the border into Lebanon.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
One tour.
Oh, okay, that sounds kind of like just smaller, very historical towns, you know, along that.
It is, and it's all along the coast, so it's a really
nice.
Interesting drive.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, if I were going there for the first time trip is Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah.
That, of course, is the most important site, and I think just about anybody would like Jerusalem. It just has so many historic sites with the Christian religion and the Jewish and the Arabic.
Uh-huh.
So any religion could find something there to thrill them. In Jerusalem, we went, of course, you have to see the Western Wailing Wall.
All right.
That is just fantastic. I saw it so many times that I can see it as I look at my wall in my house. I can see the Wailing Wall.
Really? Really? Have these images of it? Yeah, kind of.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Wow. Is it really, I mean, it is remarkable to be there, probably, just to be in the footsteps of all this history and everything. I mean, it's...
It is, yes.
Yeah.
And there are two sides to the wall. There's one side for the men and one side for the women.
Oh, okay.
They're not allowed to mingle.
Oh, okay.
But it's interesting to watch the Jewish men with their ringlets and their top hats and their nice black coats.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're praying at the wall. And the ladies are on their side praying at the wall and putting their little notes into the little cracks of the wall.
Oh.
That's very interesting. And right above the Western Wall, there's a pathway up to the Dome of the Rock. And that's in the Arab section.
Oh, okay.
That's very interesting also. But you can't wear any shoes inside, nor can you take a camera or your purse.
Oh, really? Okay.
So if you were going in, you would need to have someone with you to watch those things.
Mm.
Otherwise, don't go in.
Oh, is there an area where you can put it in safekeeping, or it's at this?
No, no place.
Oh, okay.
Sit it down on the ground.
Oh, okay.
So luckily, we had somebody each time that would watch our stuff.
Is there a feel that you can... you know, is there a lot of other tourists around, too? It's a really crowded area, I'm sure.
It is.
Crowded? Yeah.
So you have to be careful, as you do in every city. And that's the place where Muhammad ascended into heaven.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Very holy to the Muslim people.
Oh, yeah.
And it also was the site of the original David's temple, so...
Oh, geez. Okay, so it's a
David's temple.
Yeah, I think. Okay.
I say the right name.
Yeah, that's a big. It's a very important place, and yeah.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
So that's one of the highlights. But also in the old city is the Holy Sepulchre Church, so you can walk along the Stations of the Cross.
Oh.
And see where Jesus carried the cross up to the hill.
Oh, you can see the path, and they have it all marked out.
Along the trail, you can see places where he, you know, different things happened on the way. And then the church is a very large church, and and they say you can see where the cross was, and it's a very old church. But there's also another idea, and that's the Garden Tomb, which is outside the city walls, and that to me looks more like the place where Jesus was buried, because it's like, you know, it has a rock, and it's, you go into a cave, and and right next to it is a cliff that looks like it has a skull face on it.
That's great. Sounds fascinating. Yeah, I mean, I really, I mean, it would probably just, you'd just be amazed of, did you have like kind of visions, I guess, of just how it was back then, you know, like 2,000 years ago or something, you know?
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the Garden Tomb, really, you do get a really good feeling that this was the place. I mean,
you
just feel calm there. It's like it's kept up by a Protestant group, and and it's like a beautiful garden, and it's just very peaceful.
Oh, nice.
Not like inside the walls. It's just a nice place to go. The other place, of course, is the Garden of Gethsemane. That's another must-see. And the best shopping, in my opinion, is right outside the gates of the Garden of Gethsemane in the street.
Okay.
People come with their cars, and inside their trunks they have wooden olive wood carvings that they sell. And that's where I got all my olive wood, and it looks very nice. It's not expensive like the ones that you can get in the big stores where the tour guides take you. So I recommend trunk shopping.
Oh, okay. And you can find some good deals in that area.
Yeah. You certainly can. Yeah. And they're really pretty, too. Very nice. And the other, well, there's two more must-see things, in my opinion, in Jerusalem, and that's to see the Dead Sea Scrolls at the Israel Museum. And the other one is the Holocaust Museum.
Oh, okay.
Those are the things to see in Jerusalem.
How long should you stay in Jerusalem, you think, to see all those attractions? Would it be like a couple days, maybe a day or two, you think?
Oh, at least 2 days, yes.
At least 2 days in Jerusalem, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, if you can get to Bethlehem, that we're seeing as well. Sometimes you can't get to Bethlehem because of the political situation in the West Bank.
Oh, okay. That's great.
I mean, I could go on and on about all these places. Masada, the Dead Sea, you have to go there.
Okay. How far is the Dead Sea? Is there places where there's like a resort on the Dead Sea area there, or is it pretty?
There is, yes. There's like a kibbutz. And I tried to swim in the Dead Sea, and of course they won't let you swim. You just float. But I started walking out into the water. And immediately, I got out just a little ways, and it lifts you up. I found myself on my back immediately, and then wondered how I was going to get up. It was fascinating, and they also have salt statues in the Dead Sea. I don't mean that someone carved the statues.
Well, and maybe if you can explain, what is a kibbutz? You know, like what to our listeners there, like I've heard of that before. A lot of younger people, I think, stay in those places. And what exactly is that?
A bunch of people get together and they run this village.
Oh, okay.
So they each do their own profession there, and they run the kibbutz, and they farm, and they do everything for themselves. They generate their own food supply and whatever they need.
Well, that's great. And a lot of volunteers from all around the world stay at these kibbutzes, right, I think? Is it kind of international?
Yeah, they do.
Wow.
Well, then we have to talk about Nazareth. Back up north, you have to go to Nazareth.
Okay.
To see the Basilica of the Annunciation, where Mary first saw the angel. And from there, you go to the Sea of Galilee and take a boat tour across the lake.
Ooh,
fantastic. You can just imagine Jesus being on the lake. That's the one place, really, in Israel that you know has not changed since his time.
Oh, it's pretty...
I can imagine being there more than any other place.
In the Sea of Galilee area there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. So they kind of kept it. It's very preserved, and you know, it's
well,
they
it's
kept the culture.
You know, what can you do to a lake?
Oh, right, right. God, it sounds like yeah. There's so many places to see, and it's relatively, it's not that big of a place either. You know, you can get around pretty good. Do you mostly take buses around? You know, or
I wouldn't take a regular bus, but I would take a tour bus.
You're right.
And
okay.
For the first time, was on a tour bus.
Okay.
Really, and then they would just guide you around, and you would know everything you needed to know. Up by the Sea of Galilee also is the Mount of the Beatitudes, Capernaum, where Peter lived, lots of interesting places related to the Bible. So those are my favorite places in Israel. There's a few places that are off the beaten track that are more fun if you've seen the other things, of course.
Okay. So the first time you should kind of check out that path, and then kind of do
yeah,
more
Jerusalem,
exploring.
Bethlehem, Tel Aviv, Masada. That's your first trip.
Okay, well, that's great. Yeah, I think our listeners. I mean, that'd be, you know, even for people that haven't been there, but just to get an idea of, you know, what to expect and where to go, and that's great. Good. Well, thank you so much, Cheryl. It looks like our time's almost up here. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was great.
It does go quickly, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Thank you for being the co-host today, Cheryl, and really appreciate it. And
You're welcome.
And then next week we're going to talk about shopping around the world. And Judy, you have, you know, a lot of experience in shopping in different countries and different cultures and what to look for, right, and what to kind of, you know, I've traveled one time with this person, Dr. Linda Rothstein, to China a few times, and she has, you know, I don't really buy many things, but she always buys quite a few things, and if I have room in my suitcase, she always puts all her items in my suitcase there, so... I guess you have to, when you're shopping, you have to figure out a way to take everything all back to your home place there. Thank you, Cheryl. Have a good rest of the evening there. And
thank you, Chris. See you next week.